Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into this edition of the Hoop Crew Hour. Again, my name is Chris Traficante. A lot of things to get to today. Definitely going to dive into Game 5 of the NBA Finals last night. Talk about the performances that were turned in last night by LeBron James and Kyrie Irving and how that win will impact Game 6 in the series moving forward for the Cavaliers. We're also going to look at the newest NBA rumors to kind of pop up around the Boston Celtics. A couple pieces of news broke late last night, courtesy of Mark Stein, Chad Ford. Both work for ESPN, so we're going to take a look at those as well. And we'll finish up with the NBA draft, some of the guys that the Celtics have been working out, some of the things I think might go down on draft night, some of the things that I think should go down on draft night. So we'll take a peek at all of that in this edition of the Hoop Crew Hour. Again, as I start every show, I want to let everybody know anything you guys want to read about the NBA, high school, college, check us out on our website. The Hoop Crew Rundown, HC Rundown. Give us a look. You know, we got, like I said, we have everything you need. You know, if it's high school rankings, college rankings, NBA rumors, NBA inside info, Celtics info, we have it all. We have everything basketball covered, really, from this area, from this region. So give us a look. Again, that's hoopcrewrundown.com. I promise it will not disappoint. So definitely worth your time there. But let's get going here. Let's start talking Game 5. You know, when Golden State won Game 4, I said to myself, you know, I think this series is over. You know, I thought Golden State was going to win Game 5. I thought it was going to be a perfect way to end their season. You win the title at home. Everybody's feeling good. That's the way everything's going to wrap up. Obviously, when Draymond Green went out, I kind of got a little bit skeptical. I said to myself, yeah, that definitely makes things dicey, but still think they're good enough to win Game 5 on their home court with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. You know, and I thought Cleveland was going to be defeated. I thought Cleveland was going to be down and out. I thought Klay and Steph were going to hit shots early and often. And I thought that guys like Andre Iguodala, Harrison Barnes, Sean Livingston, Barbosa, Bogut, those role players that have been so huge for Golden State, I thought they would be able to pick up some of the slack left from Draymond Green. Well, not much of that happened. You know, if Cleveland, you know, you got to give all the credit in the world to Cleveland. They came out, they played hard, they competed, they made shots, they looked locked in from the minute that the ball was thrown up in the air. You know, LeBron James, all-world performance last night, you know, 41 points, almost 20 rebounds, 8 assists, just a terrific performance from James. And Irving might have been even better. 41 for him as well on 17 of 24 shooting. He was automatic all night. Just, you know, those two were by far the best two players on the floor. And that's saying something because Klay Thompson was ridiculous the entire night. He had 37. And the game wasn't even that close. You know, LeBron and Kyrie, there was a stat last night. They accounted for 97 points out of the Cavaliers, 112 or however many they scored. Golden State only scored 97 themselves. So really a terrific feat for James and Irving. They were absolutely phenomenal last night for the Cavaliers. And to me, that's what it is. You know, last night kind of felt like that game for James and Irving where it was like, listen, if we're going to lose, it's not going to be our fault. But if we win, you better believe it's going to be – we're going to be the reason that we won. You know, and that's the way that those guys have to play. You know, it almost looked like they were playing on their own island. You know, they had guys that were willing to step up and hit shots, guys that were willing to defend for them. That's the way that these two need to play, with that killer instinct and with this, you know, middle finger to the world attitude. And when they do that, they're really good. You know, they did that in Game 3, and they were terrific. They did it in Game 5, and they were terrific. But the games that they decide to just take a back seat and kind of let their talent win out is when they don't win, and they're not competitive. You know, so I think it sets up a very interesting Game 6. You know, it's back in Cleveland. You get Draymond Green back. Does Golden State keep their foot on the gas pedal? Andrew Bogut might even be out of this game. You know, obviously having Draymond back will help a little bit. But if I'm Golden State, this is the way I'm thinking, right? Man, we could have won at home. Game 6, we're going to Cleveland. not the best place to play. You know Cleveland's going to be fired up, ready to go. Those fans are going to be fired up, ready to go. And Cleveland still has LeBron James and still has Kyrie Irving, two of the better players in the entire world, And that's not to say you don't, but, you're going to have to play a really good game to win in Cleveland unless they absolutely lay an egg, and I don't think they're going to. I predicted Golden State to win in six games when the series started. But when the whole series started to transpire and things started to happen, I said to myself, it looks like five games. This is it. I thought there was no way Golden State was going to let that opportunity slip last night, and they did. Now if Draymond Green is there last night, it's probably a different series. Let's be real. Green's really the only player on Golden State that can really get into the head of LeBron James. And that's not to say Andre Iguodala doesn't guard him well. He does. He's been terrific on James most of the last two finals. So I'm just saying Draymond Green is the kind of test, the kind of problem that gets into a guy like that head. He's able to push him around and knock him around. He's not going to let him do whatever he wants to do. And you better believe LeBron saw that last night. So in terms of how Game 5 shook out, definitely surprised. Definitely surprised. I thought Cleveland was going to roll over and die. I thought Golden State was going to win their title on their home floor. That was going to be a great way to send off what would have gone down as the best team in NBA history. But it didn't happen. And like I said, that sets up a very interesting Game 6. Cleveland right now opens up as a 2.5-point favorite. And I tend to lean towards the Cavaliers. I think LeBron was locked in enough to carry that over into Game 6. Now, what happens in Game 7? It's anybody's bet. That's a pick 'em. I don't know who's going to win that game. I have to see how Game 6 transpires. But if it gets to a Game 7, that's anybody's guess. But Game 6, I think I'm leaning towards Cleveland, because I think LeBron and Kyrie are playing well enough to win a game like that on their home court. And thinking selfishly from a Celtics perspective, I know fans are probably saying, oh, man, the few fans, let's be real, not everybody, the very select few fans who still want Kevin Love coming to Boston, especially after last night's 33 minutes, 2 points, two rebound performance. The fans that still want Kevin Love in Boston are probably saying, oh, man, well, the longer this series goes, the less likely they are to move Kevin Love. Kevin Love is gone. This series could go 7. The Caps could win the series. Kevin Love is still going to be traded. Kevin Love is gone. The Cleveland Cavaliers won Game 5 of the NBA Finals because LeBron James and Kyrie Irving were just filthy. They won that game on the road. Kevin Love had 2 points and two rebounds in 33 minutes of action. And people were saying, well, why don't you take him off the floor? He was terrible. He wasn't doing anything. Take him off the floor. This guy does nothing. Smart move by Ty Lue last night. Why am I taking a guy off the floor who's helping my lineup flow and who's giving LeBron and Kyrie the extra space? You still have to guard Kevin Love. It's not like you can't, you can help way off him because he's not hitting a shot. He just didn't take any shots. And honestly, it looked like LeBron and Kyrie weren't even looking to get Kevin Love the ball, So if that's the way that Love wants to do things, then so be it. He's just not a fit in Cleveland. He's a very good player. He's just not a fit in Cleveland, But there are arguments both ways. We're not going to get into Kevin Love too much today. But there, like I said, the few select Celtics fans that want him, it's not going to matter. Kevin Love is long gone no matter what happens in the series. But I do think Game 6 is an interesting game. I do think Cleveland has very good opportunity to bring this to 7 games. And at that point, it's put up or shut up time, It's who's the best player in the world? Is it LeBron James or Steph Curry? And I think that will be the most intriguing storyline in the NBA Finals in a long time. If this series goes 7, it's almost like a power struggle. It's almost like LeBron James against Steph Curry. And it says, winner of this is the best player in the world. That's it. And LeBron has shown an aptitude when he's challenged like that to play really well. I know that a lot of people say, oh, man, LeBron just doesn't have the killer instinct. LeBron just doesn't get it. LeBron, LeBron this, LeBron that. He's all anybody talks about, But when LeBron is challenged, whether it's mentally, in the media, physically, by Draymond Green, he always responds, I'm just using a couple of examples from the series, but even if you look back to that magnificent game he played in Boston a few years ago, he was challenged. Is LeBron James a winner or is he a loser? He came out and scored 40 points, might have played the best game of his life until last night. Now the media is calling LeBron, a little you-know-what. He's a snitch. He's another word that rhymes with snitch. You know, and he comes out and he scores 41 points, grabs 20 rebounds, and dishes out his assist. You know, so to me, I think LeBron really responds to that. I think he doesn't like to be challenged as the best player in the world. I think he knows he is. I think that he feels he is, and when that is challenged, I think that really bothers him. And he always plays well. I wish that there was a way for him to channel that into winning finals and winning championships, but maybe that's what it takes. Maybe, you know, Game 7 in Golden State, everything on the line is something LeBron could really revamp his career with. You know, you got to think about it from LeBron's perspective. If he wins 3 in a row against Golden State, first of all, no one did that all season. No one came close to doing that all season. But if I'm LeBron and I can win Game 5 in Golden State, I go home, I win Game 6, and now I have a Game 7 on the road in Golden State to win an NBA championship for the city of Cleveland for the first time since the 1950s, and I could also do it by beating the best regular season team in NBA history who had 73 wins and had the unanimous league MVP. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else motivation LeBron needs. You know, and on top of that, he would also get his third championship. You know, I don't know how much more motivation there could be in the world for a player to play well. But like I said, a lot of that is going to hinge on what happens in Game 6. Cleveland could go out and lose. They could lay an egg. LeBron could stink. Kyrie could stink. Draymond could come back and Golden State could just run through it. But I do think it's going to be hard to win on the road. I think Golden State struggled to get a win against Cleveland in Game 4. They really had to gut it out and find a way. Now, maybe they'll gut it out and find a way again and win, you know, another title on Cleveland's home floor and literally rip the hearts out of those fans' stomachs. I mean, that would just be the worst. Can you imagine losing back-to-back championships on your home floor in consecutive seasons with the best player in the world on your team? Man, that is tough. That is tough to stomach. Game 6, Thursday night. Thursday night, I believe, this week, 9 o'clock in Cleveland. ABC has the call again. We'll see. We'll see. Could be the end of the NBA season with the best team in NBA history holding up a trophy, or we could be looking at an NBA Finals Game 7. Really not a loss there. So very intriguing television setup either way. So, again, Thursday night, 9 p.m. ABC in Cleveland. Check it out. We will definitely have a recap of that later this week. Last night, Chad Ford and Mark Stein before the finals got things kind of cooking on social media with some of the rumors that they were bringing up. They had mentioned that the Minnesota Timberwolves are interested in trading the number 5 pick in hopes of putting together a strong package to get Chicago Bulls guard Jimmy Butler. First thing that I said was, well, the Celtics have the number 3 pick. Why would Chicago not deal with the Celtics? You know, and people have said, oh, Tom Thibodeau, a new GM, coach in Minnesota, he loves Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler loves Tibbs. Yeah, that's great. The Bulls front office, the Bulls GM, the Bulls owner, they despise Tom Thibodeau. That's why he's not the coach there anymore. So why would they be dealing with Tom Thibodeau? You know, when Minnesota's offering you 5th pick, probably a package of some sort of Zach LaVine, Shabazz Muhammad, Gorgui Jang. Those are probably the three main names. I don't think they would trade Andrew Wiggins. I don't know. You know, if they were to trade Andrew Wiggins, you know, Chicago would probably have to jump at that offer. But I'm assuming it's Muhammad, LaVine, and Gorgui Jang in the number 5 pick. You know, could the Celtics top that with number 3, number 16, Jay Crowder, and Marcus Smart? That sounds like a more appealing package to me. I'm not making the decision, but if I was, I would probably take that offer right there. You know, but it is interesting. The one thing really that I thought when I heard that was that sounds like a bargaining chip. It sounds like maybe the Bulls and Celtics have been talking. Danny Ainge is still being stubborn, which he should be. You know, it's not time to pull the trigger on a deal like that yet. Once we get to next week, middle of next week, draft night, that's when you kind of put your chips on the table and say, all right, this is what I'm willing to do. Let's make a deal, you know. But right now, he doesn't have to include everything because that just means it's going to drive up the price and he's going to have to make more appealing offers to Chicago as he gets closer. So maybe Chicago's leaking this out that, hey, listen, you don't want to make a deal with me, I'll make a deal with Minnesota, you know, and we'll form another team that's going to bother you for years to come, another young up-and-coming team that's going to be in the way of you. So if you want Jimmy Butler, you better pony up what we're asking for, you know. So that was the first thing I thought when I read that. You know, I'm not really sure that's a logical trade partner. I would be shocked if that deal happened. I don't think Zach LaVine, Shabazz Muhammad, or Gorky Jang are ever going to be more than very good role players. You know, Zach LaVine's the one question mark there. I think he could be a pretty good NBA player. But you're looking at guys like Jay Crowder, or Marcus Smart, or an Avery Bradley, or Terry Rozier, guys that are above average role players. Avery Bradley, the best defensive guard in the NBA. Jay Crowder, one of the most improved two-way players in the NBA. Marcus Smart had a very good playoffs. He's a gamer. You know, he's another two-way player in today's league. And Terry Rozier, another young, controllable asset. So any combination of those guys, I think, are better than what Minnesota could offer. And obviously the pick is more important. And the other thing to think about with the Celtics is they always have that little carrot to dangle, which is next year's Brooklyn pick. The draft next year is loaded. Brooklyn's going to stink. So if they wanted to, they have that carrot to dangle. They can always put that in trade talks. I don't think they want to, but if it was the right player, I don't see why they wouldn't. You know, I've heard from a few people around the league that pick is somewhat off limits, and the Celtics would love to hold on to that pick, and that's the one thing they really don't want to deal. But we'll see. You know, we will see. You know, the other option, too, is what if Isaiah Thomas can fetch you Jimmy Butler? Do you make that trade? And people say, well, you want to pair Thomas and Butler, but you know, if you could get a better player than Thomas, a better scorer than Thomas, maybe you think about it. I don't know. There's a lot to consider with that move. I think that there is something to it because I do think the Celtics and the Timberwolves are going to be in pursuit of Jimmy Butler, and we'll see. You know, a few Chicago people have suggested that it is time and the Bulls will get good value if they trade Butler right now, and, you know, I don't disagree with that. I think he's the one chip on their team, the one asset on their team that could fetch them the most, and I do think that they need to rebuild. I know it's a hard pill to swallow. You know, but Gasol and Noah are both probably going to leave in free agency. Derrick Rose and Taj Gibson are up after this year. So that leaves just Jimmy Butler, and you're going to waste the prime years of a guy on a bad team, essentially. You know, I know you brought in Fred Hoiberg. I know the goal last year was to contend for an Eastern Conference title. Obviously, that didn't have any of his playoffs. I don't see that really changing too much this year. If you sneak in, you're probably a 6, 7, 8 seed in the playoffs. You know, I know it's hard to swallow, and I know it's hard to fathom that you bring in a new coach who's supposed to open up the offense and become a more team defense-oriented guy, and you lose more and you rebuild with him. But maybe that's the route Chicago has to go. They need to consider that, and they are listening. You know, they're not actively shopping Jimmy Butler, but they are listening to a few teams' pitches as to what they could fetch in a trade for Butler, and the Celtics are one of those teams, so we'll have to see what happens leading up to the draft, but that was just one of the NBA rumors that was kind of floating around the Boston Celtics yesterday, and I wanted to share that one with you guys. You know, the other, you know, rumor that I heard today, and I think it's totally false, it just didn't make any sense to me at all. Chad Ford laid out, Chad Ford, again, he's all over these trades all of a sudden. His draft guru's all over these NBA blockbuster trades. He mentioned that he thinks, you know, he laid out five scenarios, five trades he would like to see on draft. You know, usually with those articles, it's kind of throwing crap against the wall and seeing what sticks, seeing if anything sticks, really. And Chad Ford said that he, you know, he had this one mega deal with the Cavaliers and the Suns and the Knicks where, you know, Irving and Love are going to Phoenix and Anthony's coming to the Cavaliers and Bledsoe's going to the Cavaliers and all these players are going to the, I mean, there was just so many moving pieces. There was like 18 players in the trade. And those deals don't happen, especially with the team that's in the NBA Finals right now. They're not thinking about deals like that. So, but you did have an interesting one. It was between the Celtics and the Lakers. Oddly enough, I do think the deal makes some sort of sense. The names aren't going to make sense, but the deal makes some sort of sense. I don't see the Celtics and Lakers trying to make a trade with each other. The Celtics were going to be acquiring D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle. From the Lakers, the Celtics will be giving up the number 3 pick, the 16th pick, the 23rd pick, Jordan Mickey, R.J. Hunter, and Jonas Jerebko. And you're saying to yourself, why would the Lakers give up Russell and Randle, their two best young players? Well, let's say the Lakers draft Brandon Ingram. Okay, regardless of how good Russell or Randle is, it's going to be Brandon Ingram's team sooner rather than later. You know, and I do think that the Lakers are somewhat reluctant to take Ingram. I think if it was a 3-player draft, I don't think they would take Ingram. I don't think they are enamored by Brandon Ingram. I think that they really are intrigued by Marquise Chris, by Chris Dunn, even Dragan Bender in some resorts. So I think that the Lakers could be tempted by that because they would be able to take Ingram and they would be able to get Dunn or Marquise Chris at number three as well. So now you're getting two top three picks, as well as the 16th pick and the 23rd pick. So you're bringing in four young players that Luke Walton would handpick. Not only that, but you're also getting young guys in R.J. Hunter and Jordan Mickey, a floor spacing big in Jarebko. You know, maybe you throw in Marcus Smart instead of R.J. Hunter, and maybe that deal becomes more appealing. But that's a deal I think the Celtics should make. You know, D'Angelo Russell has just as much potential, if not more potential, than anybody on their team, and he could kind of mimic what Evan Turner does, and he'd have far more upside than Evan Turner because he's younger and he's a better player. And Julius Randle is exactly what that team needs, a strong, bold-minded power forward who can put the ball in the hoop, and that's what Julius Randle is. Again, I don't think Luke Walton would make that deal. I don't think that makes any sense for for Luke Walton to make that deal. But, you know, as I did kick it off, it does. You can make the case that it does make sense. The names don't make sense, but the trade idea makes sense. But I thought that was just an interesting one. That has a negative percent chance of happening, by the way. If I was Celtics, if that trade was offered to me, I would have accepted it yesterday. That's how good of a deal that would be for the Celtics. But I do think that deal has a 0.0% chance of happening. So just wanted to throw that out at you guys as well. A couple other things, too. Buddy Hield yesterday. Buddy Hield and Marquise Chris worked out privately for the Celtics. They tried to, put one on us there by kind of holding a secret private workout with Buddy Hield and Marquise Chris. But obviously that was scooped out by Jeff Goodman of ESPN, who said Buddy Hield hit 85 of 100 threes. Nothing like shooting 85% from three. You know, obviously he was shooting against air. The big joke is, playing one-on-one with the chair and Buddy Hield shooting against air. So, it is what it is. You can't really go too deep into those numbers. But interesting question. Any member on the current Celtics team, if they took 100 threes against air, what's the highest number they would hit? Is it anywhere near 85? The number I'm at is 65. So Buddy Hield definitely can shoot the basketball. He's definitely in consideration for number three. I think the Celtics are considering a few people with number three. I think Jamal Murray, Dragan Bender, Buddy Hield, Jaylen Brown, Marquise Chris. I think they're all on the table. You know, I'm not really sure Chris Dunn is on the table for them. And all those players should be on the table. They all add different things. If I was the Celtics, I'm kind of enamored with Jaylen Brown. But I think Buddy Hield and Jamal Murray are kind of deadlock even. So either one of them, I'm not going to freak out about it. But those would be the three guys. I'm a big Dragon Bender fan, as I've said. I'm not really high on Marquise Chris. I think he's a guy who will go way too high and just stink in the NBA. But I like Murray. I like Hield. And I like Jaylen Brown. Chris Dunn doesn't make much sense, but I do think he's going to be a good player as well. So there are some names there for the Celtics to pick. We'll see what they do with draft night just a little bit over a week away. Some other things I found interesting, like I said, I'm not sure the Lakers are enamored with Brandon Ingram. I know they like Marquise Chris. I know they like Chris Dunn. And Dragan Bender, I know they like Bender as well. So it's very interesting if the Lakers could shake up the entire draft again for a second consecutive year. Celtics would have quite the predicament on their hand, really. You'd be looking at a situation where you have the third pick now and Brandon Ingram's on the board. Are you trading that pick for Jimmy Butler? Does the pick gain more value, or do you build around Brandon Ingram, keep the pick? You know, that would be a big-time question for the Celtics, and one I'm not sure that they really have the answer to right now, because I don't think that they fully expect that to happen, and rightfully so. But I do think that there is a possibility for that to happen. So, definitely keep an eye on that situation. I'm checking different Lakers beat writers, different Lakers insiders, and blog websites and things like that, just to see anything that I can find out Brandon Ingram. But as of right now, I know the Lakers are still asking prospects to come work out, and a team that has a sixth pick in a two-player draft usually doesn't do that. So that is a question mark. That is a red flag, and one to certainly keep an eye on moving forward. Like I said, NBA draft next Thursday night, June 23rd, 7 or 7:30 p.m. I believe it starts at 7, but the draft doesn't kick off until 7:30 on ESPN on Thursday night, June 23rd. Very, very interesting night for a lot of reasons for the Celtics. It's kind of the kickoff to what is probably the biggest offseason in team history. So we will get ready for that, as you all should be as well. But that'll wrap it up today. That's all we really had to cover. We'll recap. We go into Game 5 of the NBA Finals, looked at LeBron James and Kyrie Irving and the performances that they turned in, how that impacts Game 6, what Draymond Green is going to mean to Golden State in Game 6, and where this series really stands with really just two games left in the NBA season, assuming this thing goes 7. We touched on the latest batch of NBA rumors around the Celtics, around the league. And some guys that the Celtics have shown interest in and guys that they will show interest in. And then just, some of the rumblings that are surrounding the NBA draft with a little bit over a week to go until draft night, the big night, the kickoff of the NBA offseason. We covered all that and more during the show today. Again, you guys want to check us out, please do Hoop Crew Rundown, HC Rundown. Check us out. We got everything you need covered. You can even get the link to our podcast up there as well. Everything is posted on there, so definitely go take a look. It will not disappoint. I promise you that is a guarantee from me. So definitely take a look at that, and we will talk to you guys soon. Enjoy Game 6 Thursday night in Cleveland, 9 o'clock tip. And then a week from that, we have the NBA draft. So a lot is starting to happen around the league. Enjoy it. We will talk to you guys soon. Goodbye.